Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're really diving into Stephen Hale's book, Empire. A very short introduction. We're talking about something huge here, a concept that shaped, well, pretty much everything where people live, the languages they speak, how money moves around the globe.
Yeah, absolutely. And our goal today really is to give you a kind of conceptual toolkit. We want to get past thinking of empire as just, you know, historical kings, dusty maps, that sort of thing.
Right.
We need to unpack it as this complex, really contested structure of power. I mean, if you genuinely want to grasp modern global politics, why there are these huge economic gaps, cultural clashes, you just have to understand this imperial background. It's foundational.
Okay, sounds like essential homework, maybe. So who's our guide through this this pretty dense topic?
Right, so Stephen Hale. He's a really distinguished British historian known as a major voice in studies of colonialism, post-colonialism. He's currently a professor of the history and politics of empire over at the University of Bristol.
And what makes his take special? I mean, there are loads of books about battles and colonies, right? What's Howe's angle?
Well, that's the thing. He deliberately sort of steers away from just listing battles or detailing administration. His real focus is on the intellectual side, the cultural history of empire. Like how these massive systems were thought about, how they were justified, the ideologies behind them, and also how people resisted, and maybe crucially, how we remember them or make remember them today.
Ah, okay. So less about the what happened and more the why and how people thought about what happened, the ideas driving it.
Exactly, yeah. And his background involves a deep understanding of how the study of empire has evolved. The historiography, he gets the different perspectives, Marxist, liberal, post-colonial, and how they've all tried to make sense of it.
So he can kind of synthesize it all?
Precisely. He's great at guiding you through these complex debates without getting completely lost. He's really teaching you how to think critically about the whole concept of empire itself.
Got it. Okay, let's look at the book then. You mentioned empire is this ambiguous term everyone uses differently.
Yeah.
So what's Hale trying to achieve with this very short introduction? Is he trying to like pin it down?
That's a big part of it, yeah. He sees that fuzziness, that ambiguity, as a major hurdle to clear analysis. So the book's core argument, I'd say, is that empire, historically, and maybe even now, is fundamentally this dynamic power relationship. It's defined by huge lasting inequality between a dominant center, the metropole, and a subordinate periphery, the colonies or territories.
And he's not buying any single reason for why empires happen.
No, definitely not. He really pushes for a multi-causal view. It was never just about money or just about grabbing land for prestige or just pure racism. It was always this messy, shifting mix of all those things. And the effects, well, they're still shaping our world right now.
Okay, so the book lays out this journey for us. Starts with trying to define this slippery concept, you know, comparing old land empires like Rome to the newer European sea-based ones. Then it gets into the why, the motivations, then the how they actually ruled, and wraps up by making us look at the legacies today, even debates about, like, an American empire.
Yeah, it gives you that essential framework, that scaffolding to think with.
All right, let's dig into that first part then. Defining empire versus, say, a nation state. What are the key differences Hale wants us to clock?
Well, a nation state ideally aims for, you know, a fairly similar population within clear borders. An empire, though, is usually much bigger, it's multi-ethnic, and it always has that sharp distinction between the core, the metropole, and the periphery, the territories it controls. That relationship is built on subordination.
And he's careful with words like imperialism and colonialism, isn't he? We tend to mash them together.
He is, and it's useful. Imperialism is the bigger idea. The drive, the ideology, the practice of extending power. Colonialism is more specific. It's the boots on the ground stuff, setting up settlements, taking direct administrative control, exploiting resources and labor in another land.
That clarification feels important because, like he says, calling something an empire today is often a political attack, right? Whether it technically fits the old definition or not.
Exactly. Which leads us straight into the next big question. Why did modern imperialism, especially in the 19th century, just explode? Hale really challenges those theories that try to pin it on just one thing.
Yeah, those single cause theories are neat, aren't they? Like the economic one, Hobson, Lenin, that was dominant for ages. The idea that it was basically capitalism needing new places to invest surplus cash, the highest stage of capitalism idea.
Right, a very powerful argument. But as Howe points out, it doesn't quite explain actions that weren't immediately profitable or territories grabbed for seemingly other reasons, which brings in the political and strategic motives.
Like the scramble for Africa.
Yeah, exactly. That wasn't always about immediate profit for every bit of land grabbed. It was often this intense competition between European nations for power, for prestige, for strategic spots on the map. Pure rivalry.
So economic engine, maybe, but political rivalry, hitting the gas pedal.
Yeah.
And then there's the moral fig leaf.
Yeah.
The cultural reason.
The civilizing mission. Yeah. This deeply ingrained belief, often tied to racist ideas and social Darwinism, that Europeans were superior and had this like duty to bring progress, their version of it anyway, law, Christianity, whatever, to other peoples.
So pulling back, how weave these together? What's his take on this messy tangle?
He basically argues they were totally intertwined. Asking which was the main driver, profit, power, or prestige, is kind of the wrong question.
Yeah.
It's like asking if a big company today operates only for profit or only for status. They need profit to survive, obviously, but they use status and power to get market access, favorable deals, you know.
Right.
For empires, the economic desires fueled expansion, the political rivalries dictated the pace and who grabbed what, and the racist ideologies provided the justification. Letting people back home feel okay about often brutal actions abroad.
Makes it all feel very human in a complicated and often ugly way.
Okay, so moving from why they did it to how. How on earth did these huge empires actually work day to day? How did they rule?
Yeah, it's a fundamental question, isn't it? How do a tiny number of administrators control millions across vast distances? Brute force alone wasn't sustainable or even possible everywhere. They had to rely on systems, yes, but crucially on local collaborators.
That's the part that often gets glossed over, I think. Getting local elites, merchants, even soldiers on side.
Absolutely essential. And they had different strategies for it. You often hear about direct rule, things of the French models, trying to assimilate people, replace local structures, versus indirect rule, more the British approach, working through existing local leaders, though often reshaping or even inventing traditions to suit their needs. But control wasn't just about who was in charge or what rules they set. really emphasizes how knowledge itself became a tool of power.
This is fascinating stuff. Empires conducted censuses, made incredibly detailed maps, did ethnographic surveys studying local cultures.
Not just mapping land, but mapping people.
Exactly. By defining groups, categorizing languages, religions, ethnicities, often imposing rigid categories where things were more fluid, they made these complex societies seem legible, understandable from the center, and easier to divide and rule, frankly.
And when cultures collide like that, you get complex results for identity, right? He talks about that too.
For sure. It was never a one-way street. You get hybridity, this mixing of culture. Think about everyday things like tea in Britain or curry becoming a national dish or even language itself, so many words absorbed. But you also get ambivalence.
Ambivalence.
Yeah, those really complicated feelings many colonized people had being drawn to aspects of the colonizer's culture, maybe it's technology or ideas, but at the same time, deeply repulsed by the domination, the racism, the violence.
It's like the classic example of someone learning the colonizer's language and legal system precisely to fight for independence using the master's tool.
Exactly that kind of complexity. And right. Howe is really clear. Resistance wasn't just big uprisings. It was constant. It ranged from quiet everyday acts of non-cooperation, preserving culture secretly, all the way up to those large-scale nationalist movements that eventually broke the empires apart.
Okay, so that brings us to the big picture messages. If the age of grabbing colonies is mostly over, why keep dissecting empire?
Well, theme one hits that head on, the enduring asymmetrical legacy. Howe's point is simple. The age of empire isn't really over because its consequences are baked into our world.
How so? Asymmetrical.
Well, the legacies look very different depending on where you stand. In former colonies, you often see ongoing political instability, economic challenges, deep social scars. In the former imperial centers, you might find nostalgia or just a profound lack of awareness about how that history still shapes the present.
Right. So if you're looking at that huge economic gap between the global north and south, you can't ignore how the current global economy was built on foundations laid during the imperial era. Resource extraction, dependency. It wasn't accidental.
Exactly. Theme two is also crucial. The diversity of imperial forms. We have to remember empire wasn't just a European thing. Think ancient Rome, the Chinese empires, the Mongols, various Islamic caliphates. They all had different ways of ruling, different justifications.
Which helps us avoid lazy comparisons, right? When we talk about powerful countries today, we need Howe's tools to ask. Are we talking about actual territory grabbing, like Rome? Or is it more about economic leverage, cultural influence, that informal kind of power? The distinctions matter.
They really do. And theme three is about challenging the civilizing mission. Howe constantly contrasts the noble rhetoric bringing progress, law, order, with the often brutal reality on the ground. Exploitation, violence, dispossession.
That rhetoric was the ideological cover, basically.
Pretty much. And this is a lesson for today, isn't it? It trains you to be critical of justifications for modern interventions or global economic policies. When you hear talk about promoting democracy or stability, Howe encourages you to ask,
yep.
Okay, but what are the underlying strategic or economic interests possibly being masked by that nice-sounding language?
Yeah, always look under the hood. The book has some really sharp lines that capture these ideas.
It does. They stick with you. Let's share a couple that really stood out.
Okay, first one feels like his mission statement for the whole book. The first step to understanding empire is to accept that it has no single stable meaning.
Yeah, I love that. It's basically saying, okay, folks, ditch the simple definitions, embrace the complexity, think critically about how words are used.
Right. And this one directly tackles those single cause theories we talked about. To ask whether empires were built for profit, power, or prestige is to ask the wrong question. The answer, almost invariably, is that they were built for all three.
It just forces you to accept the messy reality, doesn't it? History isn't neat. Human motives are tangled.
Definitely. And one more. Connecting empire and nationalism. Modern nationalism and modern imperialism grew up together, were in many ways symbiotic.
That's such a fascinating paradox. The very idea of the nation that was used to fight against empire often took shape within the structures the empires themselves created, borders, administrative units, even shared opposition. It's complex.
So we've got this toolkit now. How can people listening apply this thinking to what's happening right now?
Well, one obvious area is understanding conflict. Think about so many borders, especially in Africa and the Middle East. Howe's work reminds you they were often drawn arbitrarily by colonial powers, cutting across ethnic groups, lumping rivals together, just for administrative ease.
Which directly feeds into instability and conflict decades later, right? It's not ancient history, it's the foundation of current problems.
Right.
Absolutely. And another thing, especially for listeners in places like the UK or France, understanding multiculturalism today. Migration patterns aren't random. They often follow those old colonial pathways. Knowing that history is vital for having informed, sensible conversations about identity, integration, belonging.
Okay, and what about those big global power questions? Claims of neo-imperialism?
Yeah, this is maybe the most direct application. Howe gives you the analytical tools to really dissect claims about, say, American or Chinese influence today. Is it formal control? Usually not anymore. Is it economic power via institutions like the IMF, World Bank, or big infrastructure projects? Often yes. Is it cultural influence, soft power? Also yes.
So it helps you differentiate between sending soldiers and setting the rules of global trade or shaping cultural tastes, moving beyond just saying it's empire to analyzing how power works now.
Precisely. That nuance is key.
So wrapping up, what's your final takeaway? What really sticks with you from Howe's perspective?
For me, it's that urgent need for analytical nuance he stresses. He makes you wrestle with the fact that these imperial institutions could be simultaneously destructive and exploitative, and sometimes unintentionally or not, conduits for new ideas, technologies, even forms of organization that were later used against them. Holding those contradictions, that critical mindset, feels essential for understanding global inequality and conflict today.
Yeah, for me, what really hits home is seeing empire not just as a series of past events, but as an enduring structure of power, a structure that's still deeply embedded in our global systems, economic, political, even cultural. It's not gone. It's just changed shape. And realizing that it fundamentally changes how you look at the world, how you read the news every single day. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by eContra Foundation.